Greetings, everyone. We are back. This is the Hypnotica podcast with Chantel and Melissa. And today we're talking about relationship check-in questions. So, Melissa, take it away. What is your take on this? And what are the questions that you like to ask in your relationship on a regular basis?
I had a friend introduce the concept of the relationship check-in to me years ago. I thought it was the best thing ever. She explained that it is used to create a safe space to be able to talk about your feelings and talk about things that are coming up for you, but also hold the space for your partner as well. And it cuts down on resentment and issues building up. So there's no right or wrong way to practice this. I personally do the relationship check-in once a month, more if needed, but not less than once a month. So my questions are, I got these from the Instagrams and they just stuck in my brain, and this is what they are. So the first one is, I share with my partner what I appreciate about them. And then they do the same for me. So it's like five things that you appreciate about your partner. The second question is, what are you appreciating or loving about the relationship? Partner does the same thing. The third one is, are there any issues that you need to talk about or things that you want to bring up or conflict that needs to be revisited? And then the last one is, what would you like to receive from me this month? And then what would I like to receive from you this month? I have had a fair amount of success with doing the relationship check-in. One caveat I want to say is, even if you have if you have your relationship check-in scheduled and maybe you get into an argument or one of you is having a really bad day, don't do the check-in. Just reschedule it, do it another time. You want to be emotionally present and regulated before opening up this space to talk about things that could be potentially triggering for you and for your partner.
Gotcha. Like, don't be overtired. Or
Right? Yeah.
don't bring it up just exactly when you're triggered and you're just going to unleash the whole thing that you've been saving up for months and months. No. So, Melissa and I are both getting over colds, so bear with
Yes,
us here.
please. Oh my God.
So, I heard about the relationship check-in questions from Jeremy and Audrey Roloff. They are like the Little People Big World stars, or Once Upon a Time. I'm a big reality show fan. Anyways, and like at that time, Jeremy's parents were going through a divorce, and Jeremy was just getting married, and him and his wife wanted to make sure that that didn't happen to them. Like, they wanted to be part of the 50% that didn't get divorced. So, like, they figured we're going to have to do something different. And so then they came up with these questions, and they're more on the religious side. So one of their questions was, "How can I pray for you?" So I've never done that question because that's just not my cup of tea. What is great about the relationship check-in questions is you can choose your own questions and make them your own. So in the description, we're going to include about 20 questions that you can pick from and see what works for you in your relationship. I love the idea of having like a safe container. Now, Melissa and I were talking about the word container, and a lot of people might not know what it means. It basically means to like set yourself in a circle or set time apart from everything else, that this is like a safe space, that if you bring up something that's touchy, that they're not just gonna, react and it's really hard for, especially for someone like me, to bring up conflict because I avoid conflict at pretty much all cost. I am very afraid of rejection. And so if I know that like this is our intention, we've set aside this time to bring up the hard things, like that it's super hard and that he understands it's hard for me to bring up a conflict. But yet, oftentimes these conflicts are just running at the back of my head, like for an entire month, and I haven't voiced it to him, and that's not fair to him, and it's not fair to me. And so, yeah, it's got to be said, because there's little resentments in any relationship that can come up, but they are so easily avoidable when there's some communication.
Yes.
I like one of my favorite questions is, how is our sex life? Is there anything you'd like to try? Is there anything you didn't have a good time with last time? Like, it's better, I find, to talk about sex, not when you're having sex. Often it leads to that, but that's not the point. But that can get your partner on board for having the discussion. I don't know. I just find it that a lot of times there are things that are not said, not communicated. Especially if you're someone who wants to avoid conflict, or you don't want to like make his ego be like, oh, I'm doing a bad job, right? Like, you just, there's got to be some communication. My other favorite thing to talk about in these relationship check-in questions are, is there anything left unsaid? Is there any resentments, anything that has been on the back of your mind that you just haven't talked about because there hasn't been a time to do it? Now, in a lot of like marriages, or when you live together, or there's kids involved, there's just not a lot of time to sit down and talk about the deep things. And sometimes I feel like, often women can create drama. We can all agree on this, but they don't do it on purpose to be like an asshole or anything. They just want to be close to their partner. They want some sort of like a little bit deeper, not the surface level, like what you would talk to your friends about. They want to get a little bit more vulnerable, more emotional, more just deeper. They want to feel connection, something that they don't have with other people, they only have with their partner. Does that make sense? I want to be inclusive.
Absolutely.
I'm just like, I'm not the best with my language, but my intention is to be inclusive.
Yes.
Did I make sense? Or like, what is your takeaway from that? Is there anything to make that more complete of a idea?
What I'm hearing is women and I have done this. I've totally done this. We don't, and again, we don't mean to, we're not doing this on purpose to create the drama, but it's creating something to make our partners look at us, to make them pay attention to us, even if it's negative attention. Because we're wanting something, and some of us don't have the language to communicate what it is. So it might be, I'm going to be mad at you for not doing the dishes, but what I really want is to feel cared about, to feel supported. And if I don't have the language for that, it's going to come out about the dishes. It might be really about the dishes, but if it's not about the dishes, it's like I want to feel supported. I don't have language to explain to you what support means to me. So I'm going to pick this like external surface level thing. And then also in my experience, men feel like they're not good enough. Like they can't do it right. They can't get it right. So they withdraw, which makes us chase after them and be like, but no, I want you to come here. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel inspired to come towards someone who's perpetually frustrated with me. So, but it's like all of us are literally doing the best we can with trying to communicate our needs. But if there's limited language there, it comes out kind of sideways. So, looking at, I love what you said too with your question of what is left unsaid, or are there things that have been left unsaid? Because that opens the door for us to work out how we need to communicate aside from looking at the external things. Did I hear you right? It's like, did I say, am I saying what you're also saying?
Yeah, was it Brené Brown? I forget who it was where I learned this from, where they came back with the like, what I hear you're saying is this, and or just really fine-tuning the communication, so that, because so often our words mean one thing to us and a different thing to our partner. You know,
Mm-hmm.
so just making sure that that intention comes across clear and that one person doesn't just dive into reaction or just like projection or whatever, like doesn't get mad about something that isn't even a thing. You know, like before you go ahead and get upset about it, make sure that you really understand what they're trying to say. Like, so what I hear you
Exactly.
saying is this and this. Is this what you mean? I was like, no, like I actually meant this and this. Oh, okay. Like that's adult communication. That's mature communication.
Absolutely. And if you don't know, and if you, if your partner's saying something and you're not sure, if you feel yourself starting to react, notice that reaction and pull back a little bit and like come back into yourself. And also like be curious, ask questions. Like, I hear you, but I'm not understanding. Can you explain it a different way? Can you tell me or show me in a different way? That's the other thing too that happens is people just repeat themselves over and over again, and it's just kind of like, okay, well, they're not getting it. So you have to figure out what's being heard, what's not being heard, and being vulnerable enough and curious enough to ask the hard things or to give your partner more time and space to express themselves. And don't listen to understand, don't listen to respond. You want to know what they're saying, not just waiting for your turn to speak. And that's the way it goes in the relationship check-in too. It's being as present as you can be with yourself and your partner so you can actually understand and hear what they're saying.
Exactly. I was mulling over the question that was asked me, what do you want? You know, it was asked of me during sex, and I feel like it's kind of an unspoken question that goes on in relationships. Like, what do you actually want, right? Here we go with our cold.
I
just take a pause, a cough. Okay. Where was I? Yeah, so I was mulling over what do you want, and I was just thinking, like, deep down, I want connection mentally, emotionally, and finally physically. I find when there hasn't been a check-in like this, and we just dive into the physical, I am left feeling very not okay.
Yes.
Like, that's not just a band-aid that makes everything, oh, now we're good again, kind of a thing. I need you to connect with me on a mental level and on an emotional level, like where we're both vulnerable with each other. And I need presence. Like, stop with the distraction. Like, I get you're uncomfortable, but like, put the phone down
Put your
for
phone
2 seconds.
down.
Like, hello, I'm right here. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. The phone, that's a whole nother thing. All phones off during the
Or computer games or
check-in.
whatever they are. Like, it's like, this is our time to talk. This is our communication time or our sexy fun time. And the world can just go on pause for a little while. One of my favorite sexual experiences in the past was, it started out being like a bit of a seminar. This lady, I think her name is Bibi from Instagram. That's where I found her. And she kind of did kind of like a guided meditation, but sort of a more guided what the guy can do for the woman. Like, and it was just like, it was very slow, like getting into things like where, you know, touch her here, like nibble on her ear, whisper something sweet in her ear, like, you know, that kind of thing. And it was just so cool. And I was like, what? Let's try that again sometime. I didn't take notes because I was busy having fun, but like, you know, like it was like a class where like all the couples could see her, but she couldn't see us, kind of a deal. And then we landed up like pressing pause or closing the laptop and doing our own thing. But like, yeah, I don't know. How did I get on that topic? Oh yeah, talking about like what women want, or you know, what do you really want? We want connection, we want presence, and like that's pretty much it. Like, we want attention, right? We want some a little bit of energy flow.
Yes.
And like, this is another thing we could talk about in future episodes, but like masculine energies and feminine energies. One of the quotes that I saw was like, the feminine is like a chocolate bar without the wrapping paper. Like, you can only experience it. You can't like define it. Like, I would have to find that quote, but you know, the feminine is often just chaos all over the place, like just ideas. And yeah. And so then no wonder men think they can't write this book on them. And, you know, again, I want to be inclusive, and I'm just saying mostly masculine energies versus feminine energies, not necessarily men and women. And then the masculine is more very like a rock, like sturdy, like concrete, like this, these are the facts. Mm-hmm. You know, I find that when a man learns that what a woman really wants from him is to just be that solid rock when she's having her emotional storms, that he's going to be like supportive and loving and not lose his shit and get into the storm with her, that, mm-hmm. you know, there is this trust that's built, and that's kind of the dance between the masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
What are your ideas about that?
Oh, let's see. The way I see that is when she's in her emotions, he can hold the space and witness her. And then she provides, when she's in touch with her own emotions, her own feelings, and can go deep within herself, she creates a safe space for him to be invited into that and to be able to experience his own feeling self in a deeper way than he could on his own. It feels like a really beautiful invitation. Like, she gets invited by him to be in her full expression, but then she provides the invitation for him to come in and experience the depth of his own feelings, his own emotions.
And we crave that from the other.
Yeah.
Right? Like, deep down, subconsciously, that's what we're there for. We're not there for like the Kama Sutra, right? Like, we don't need all of the positions or whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
So many people think, like, if only I got the right position down pat, then we'd be good. Like, no. It's very subconscious. It's all about the energies. And like, a lot of people see it as a mystery. Like, why are we attracted to this, you know, to the mm-hmm. other? Like, why do we seem to need that? Why can't I just be okay on my own, kind of a thing?
Yep. You can feel it too if someone's energy is not with you. Like, if you're tuned into yourself enough, you know whether or not your partner is available, and you know whether or not you're available. It's like the point.
Oh, that could be an episode too. Like, even on text and even on long distance relationships, you can feel if they're energetically with you or mm-hmm. not.
Absolutely. Yep.
So much more to be said about relationships. Trying to think if there's any other questions that we left out that were important. I like the whole idea of, well, I mean, the sandwich effect, right? Like, you say something nice about them, then you say the thing you have been avoiding, the conflict thing, and then you say something mm-hmm. nice again. That's a very nice technique, because, you know, you want your partner to feel loved. You don't want to make them feel rejected or that they can't talk to you. But at the same time, some things just have to be said. And yep. One seminar I went to, it talked about conflict actually being the birthplace of creativity. And yeah, that blew my mind. Like, how new things can be born, and like how, and I mean, I've seen it in the past. I remember it like in past relationships too, where finally I had been able to communicate the conflict that was going on in my head about the relationship, and how mm-hmm. amazing it felt afterwards to just feel that just deep connection that finally they knew. And they accepted me still, like, surprise, surprise, because I always think back from my childhood, like, there's conflict that means relationship over, or you know, like, so I'm still trying to rewire that in my mind. Yeah, like questions like, what's the most pleasurable thing about our relationship?
I
Questions
love
like,
it.
what first attracted you to me? You know, because oftentimes at the beginning of the relationship, we keep telling our partner that over and over again, like, oh man, you know, I'm not used to this. None of my partners have ever done this before. Like, I appreciate you so much. And then over a course of time, we just forget to tell each other the things that we really like. So, especially when you're living together, I found. So, definitely the check-in questions I like on a weekly basis, that would be ideal. Do I practice what I preach? No. I have
Humanity.
done
We have
relationship
space for
questions.
humanity.
Yes, exactly. I have done relationship questions on a weekly basis, but I've dropped the ball. And I want to pick that up again because it's one of the best things I've ever done.
Same here.
I mean, it's kind of like going to therapy for a person. You know what I mean? Like
Yes.
it's kind of like the difference between someone who doesn't go to therapy and doesn't really know what's going on, like what their goals are and what they're working towards, what their issues are. They're just kind of stumbling through life, while like a lot of people stumble through their relationships, and it's, you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you have the check-ins and make sure that you're on the same page, know where you're going, like asking each other what your financial goal is, or what is some dream or desire forefront on your mind that, you know, you'd like to share. Like, oftentimes people have these big dreams, like they want to travel somewhere and they just don't share them. So yeah, it's basically this container we're talking about is just a space, a time set aside to focus on the deep things. And when women, I'm just, it's a blanket thing, but I'm sure men want this too. When they have the space for it, then they're not going to get so mad the rest of the time that it's not happening. They're not going to act out. They're not going to cause drama because their needs are being met. So it's a win-win, really.
It is. And then your sex life gets better because there's so much trust that you're building with this. Like, the more you practice trust, the more you practice holding yourself and your triggers and holding your partner, the more safety gets developed. And then, like, your sex life gets even hotter. So, all
Yeah, because
the winnings.
you could communicate things that you like and don't like during sex without feeling that fear of rejection.
Yep, for sure.
All right, well, that's all I have to say about that for this time.
Yay. So y'all, next week we are going to talk about the things that we have learned in our relationships. Very excited about that, especially like the things I've learned prior to doing the check-in. A lot of lessons. Yay, so we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.